Well, let's jump into the Word of God, see what God has for us this morning. I know that you'll be encouraged. It's just another one of those messages that it's got a ton of scripture. Some of you know I almost call them scripture sermons because they got so much. It's just, I'm not going to teach you as much. I'm going to show you what the Word of God says and let the Word of God penetrate your hearts and do what He does. So it's just revealing things in the scriptures that God has already put there, and it's just a matter of pulling it out and showing and standing on it. We're going to talk this morning about how God made you. Okay, how God made you. And we're going to, you could almost put a, do I have a slide for that, Keith? Maybe not. Nope, I don't. So, God made you. So let's back up one. There we go. So just think about tithes and offerings while I get started. Praise God. So we're going to talk about how God made you, and I'm saying that you can put a dot, dot, dot at the end of that. Because it's God made you different. Okay, God made you. You remember VeggieTales came out with their movie a while back. God made you special, right? God made you different. God made you unique. God made you very special. And so we're going to look at that in detail about the way that He has made you and how it has transformed your life already. And then we just live from that new perspective, and it'll really help the way it frees you up so that we don't have to focus on the don'ts, but we can focus on the do's and what God has done and doing through our life. So praise God for that. But let's start with prayer. Father God, we thank You again for this time that we have to get into Your Word, to press in deeply into Your Scripture, Father, and just let You speak to our hearts about what You have done already on our behalf, how You have sent Jesus and the Holy Spirit to us. You allow us to now live a new life in Christ. And Father, we're praising You for that, and I pray that You reveal it in a deeper and more truer way than we've ever seen before after today, Father. We love You and praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let me just ask with a question, I often do this, about the battles that you struggle with in your mind. Okay, there's sometimes it seems like there's repetitive battles. I mean, there's something that we've struggled with over and over again. Maybe it's you know, you feel guilty all the time, or you feel like you don't quite measure up, and so you kind of feel a little insecure. You're around people, you don't like crowds, you don't like being, you know, around people you don't know because you're kind of insecure, or maybe it's the people that you do know that you're most insecure around, and those are the ones that you feel like you really don't measure up. They're always looking down on you, those kind of things. Or maybe you struggle with even getting out of bed in the morning. You know, man, what's life about? What's there to get up for today? And so you're struggling with those kind of mental struggles, those things that come in, and it's not just once and then it's gone, but it's today, it's next week, it's the day after that, it's the day after that, then it's 2 weeks later. And these are things that kind of pop up. Might even be some of the sins or the besetting sins, things that have been in your life for many years, and maybe you get some victory and you feel like you're overcoming, and then it rears its ugly head up again. And pretty soon you're struggling with it again for whatever it is, a day, a two, a week, a month, a year, and then you begin to get some reprieve from it. Whether it's something like, you know, a temper, you know, your anger, you know, boy, you screamed at everybody yesterday, but today you're better, you know. or you know, you've got, maybe it's lust, you know, and you've dealt with it, and you seem like you're getting victory, and then all of a sudden you slip and you stumble, you do something again, and maybe it's telling a fib, or, you know, you've been into gossiping, but you've been really holding back and doing well, but then all of a sudden, it comes up again, you kind of slip, and now you're telling all about so-and-so and what they did, and how bad it was, and how good you are, because you didn't do that kind of stuff. Okay, well, when these battles come up, it's not uncommon for the Christian mind to go down this road where they kind of shake their head and say, you know, I've struggled with that my whole life. I've struggled with it over and over again, but it seems like I just don't quite get complete victory over it. I just don't quite get past it. You know, like I never quite accomplish the goal, which is to be done with that forever. You know, I don't know about you guys, man. There's times over the years that, you know, something comes up and I seem like I'm doing okay, and then it slips, and man, just gets you right there, and it just hurts. It's like, God, I hate that. I don't know why I do that. Okay? Well, today's message will give you the key to that freedom, that forever freedom, just to walk away from it and not have to deal with that anymore and put it behind you. Okay, everybody say this with me. Say, it's four words. God made me different.
God made me different.
God made me different. Okay?
God made me different.
Amen. God did it. Okay, he has done some miraculous things. Okay, the Word of God says in Romans 12:2, as we open up with Scriptures, that we renew our mind. Okay, Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, that's where I want to be, in a perfect will of God, right? So I want to renew my mind to get to that point. Okay? In other words, it's in order to continue the transformation that Jesus Christ did on the cross, my belief in Him, I put my faith in Him, in order to continue that transformation that He began on the inside, God's simple instruction for us is simply to renew your mind. Change your thinking about it. Okay? Renew your minds about the way that you see Him and the way that you think about Him. Renew your mind in the way that you see Jesus. Renew your mind in the way that you see the Holy Spirit. Renew your mind in the way that you see you. Okay? And that's what I'm going to focus on a little bit today, is how you see you. Okay? God made you different. Okay? God did something, and we need to acknowledge that and grab onto that in order to move forward and let that other stuff, that besetting stuff, that hindering stuff, that, you know, whatever it is, to be able to walk away from that. We're going to have to walk forward away from that by seeing ourselves different. It makes sense when you think about it. Isaiah 55:8 says that God's ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So I want to line my thoughts up with Him, but God's saying His thoughts are higher than the heavens. They are higher than my thoughts. And yet it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that as a born-again believer, okay, somebody that has trusted on Jesus Christ, that it is possible for us to know the way of God perfectly. Okay? No man can know it, but the Holy Spirit, which was part of the package, knows it intimately. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us." That's a Christian word, us. "He has revealed them unto us by His," capital S, "Spirit. For the Spirit searches and knows all the things, even the deep things of God." Okay, so we can know the thoughts of God. So how does God see us? How does He see you and me? When He looks at you, is He, you know, concerned with all the failures and mistakes you made in the past? Man, you messed that up. Well, I'll tell you, when I was in high school, I can't even tell my kids stories from when I was in high school, man. It's just, I can't even go there. I mean, just stuff. And so, If that's the way God still sees me, then I'm in trouble. I mean, that kid was pretty naughty. And so if God is got a different viewpoint now, that's what I want to know, because that's where His thoughts are higher than my thoughts, and yet I can know His thoughts. I want to know what those thoughts are. Okay, so that's where I'm going to go with that. Philippians 2:5 says, "To let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." In other words, kind of think like He thinks. Now, He was talking about doing good unto others and being kind to people and esteeming others better than yourself and those kind of things. So if we can have the mind of Christ for those things, then we can have the mind of Christ for other things as well, and be able to know how we should live and work and act and walk and talk. And yet, how many times have we said something, we've done something, and then we say to ourselves, "Why do I do that? Why did I do that? I know better than to do that. I know I shouldn't do that. I know that behavior isn't right." There's got to be a way to stop doing that. There has to be a way. And I've prayed this prayer, and Lord, line my mind up with You. And there is a truth in this. The more that you think like Jesus thinks, you don't look at the opposite sex in the wrong way. You don't think about being tempted with the alcohol or the things. Your mind thinks differently when you line it up with Jesus. So I encourage you, pray that prayer. "Lord, let my mind line up with Jesus. Let my mind line up with the way that He has, what He wants me to be doing." But let me tell you that there is a way even beyond that. It's called renewing your mind. Okay, just like we read in the beginning. Renew your mind. Okay, reprogram your mind. Reprogram those old man thoughts. Okay, reprogram the old man behavior with the new man thoughts and behaviors. You know, we are a new creation, right, in Christ Jesus. So we change out the desires for the ungodly. We change out the desires for the things that are not of God, and we replace it with a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. Okay? Jesus told us plainly that they that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. Right? I think I have that scripture. Blessed are they, in Matthew 5, 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But to hunger and thirst after something means that you desire it, you desire to consume it. If you're hungry for pizza, you have to go get a pizza, right? You can't just think about it and you're filled with it. Okay, if you're thirsty for something, you have to go to the fridge, you go to the sink, you go to get some liquid beverage and drink it. You have to desire what it is and go to it in order to be able to consume you. It doesn't just jump on you and make you not thirsty or make you not hungry anymore. Okay, if you want to change your thought life, you have to pursue the changing of your thought life. Say, how do you view those things that are tormenting you? How do you view that things that comes up? You know, sure, at that moment, I hate it with a passion. I should have never did that. I wish I wouldn't do that. I hate it right then and there. But on a daily basis, a daily walk, what do you think about it? Is it the same every day, or is it just at that moment when you got caught, so to speak? Okay, and because that's what people do. They really hate it. Then, boy, I should never gossip again. I'm never telling anybody anything about anybody. Until 2 days later when they hear some juicy stuff about somebody, then it's like, oh, maybe. You know, it won't be that bad. And they start to justify a little bit and take that away. So how do you think about it all the time? Are you hungry for the things that are of God? Okay, so many Christians struggle today with certain behaviors or certain emotions, and they wonder why they never seem to change, and yet they're still feeding on the old man thoughts. How did the old man see that stuff? It was pretty cool to, you know, check out those girls or guys or whatever. Or, you know, it was, you know, gossiping, man, that was just the way it is. You know, we just had this table. In my town, we had the ladies of the round table. And they used to sit every morning at 7 a.m. They would meet at the little cafe at the round table. There was only one big round table. And they would sit there. We called them the ladies of the round table. They met to gossip. That's exactly why they went to go do that. And so it was just, they were the gossip of the town. They knew everything about everybody that was going on. So for them, later on, if they're, you know, they hate gossip. They got caught. Oh, I hate that gossip. I ain't never doing that again. Until the next morning when it's time for breakfast and they sit down again. So if they're feeding on that, what are they going to think? They hate it at this moment, but it's okay at this moment. Hate it at this moment. Okay, so you got to get to that point where you hate it all the time. That's lining it up with Jesus. Jesus don't like that stuff. Gossip's one of the things God said he doesn't like, right? Hate, I think, is the word he used. He hates it. So that's one of those things that we need to keep in mind. If we want to change our thought life, we have to focus on changing it. We can't still try to quench our thirst feeding and drinking the way the old man did, okay? Because it won't go away. For some of you that got saved, maybe I'm talking old man and new man. So some of you that got saved early in life, and I know we have some in the room that helps to hear other people's testimonies to remind me of this. My testimony is pretty dramatic. 24, 25-year-old guy, man, it was dramatic. But there's so many that were born again or saved as a young person growing up in a Christian family. And so when I say old man behaviors, you know, that's old man behavior. You're just feeding like the old man. They're thinking, I don't remember what the old man is like. Let me tell you what the old man is like. Even for you, okay, there is something, because when people handle things according to the way the world does, okay, when you handle things according to the way that the flesh desires and you fulfill it through that, you're handling it according to the old man behavior. That was your pre-God nature, man. That was what made you desire those things, and that stuff that pulls you in that direction, that is your old man. So you can still sense that, see it, know it, experience it, just like somebody that was born again when they're 25 from you know, all the stuff that I've shared before. Okay, so keep that in mind. That's when you try to quench your desires the way the world does or according to the ways of the old sinful nature, you're experiencing that. That lost, unregenerate person does not pursue the things of God, period. Okay, they just don't. Okay, so if we're living our life in a way where we are not pursuing the ways and things of God, put the period there, because that's, we're just engaging right in that old man behavior. That's the way of the world. The world cannot know God, neither the things of God. Okay, you don't get recharged in your spirit by vegging your mind out on the television set. Okay, I know there's a few good preachers out there, and if you see me on TV, you guys can watch me. But aside from that, okay, you guys want to, we want to feed on things that are not going to fill the old man. How often as a young person do we just veg out on our TV, video games, those kind of things? You know, as a new born-again believer, a Christian, to go back to that and say, oh, I'm just tired, I just want to veg out on TV today, that's not going to recharge your spirit in a Christian sense or in a spiritually godly way. Okay, we don't think like God thinks when we absorb the ways of the world on a consistent and regular basis. Okay, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and you have to see yourself that way in order to live that way. Okay, so let me talk about the transformation. The transformation that takes place in your life by the renewing of your mind is not something that God intended for you to do all on your own. Okay, it's not like you're just, you know, throw your hands up and say, well, God will take care of it all. But it's not that we also can't throw our hands up and say, God's not helping me at all. Okay, and it's all up to me. I got to do this. I got to be better. I got to change this behavior. Remember that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He is constantly helping to renew your life. But it begins by seeing yourself as who you are now in Christ, reminding yourself who you were not, who you are not, apart from Christ. Okay, you are different, right? Remember those four words, I am different. You are different. God did something. Your life is not the same as an unregenerate person. Titus 3:3 says, for we ourselves also were, okay, sometimes foolish. We were disobedient. We were deceived. We were serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness of God and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Once Jesus Christ came, not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of, or by, the Holy Ghost, okay, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Holy Spirit is a key. I've already mentioned him in two separate scriptures, because the Holy Spirit is a key to helping you to overcome. He knows the perfect will of God at any instant. And when we connect with him that is inside of us, because Jesus said, I go away and I'll send you the Comforter. So when we connect with the Holy Spirit, he can help us to live the way that God wants us to. You can see from verses like this one and numerous other ones like it that you once were unregenerate. You once were lost. Okay? You once were unsaved. Okay? Is everybody born again? Everybody saved this morning? Anybody question it? Not sure. Okay, because we want to have that down, because I'm speaking to Christians, I think, this morning. So you'll get this. You are different. If you're not born again, you're not different yet. You're still in the world. You're going to die of your sins. You're going to be not good. Okay, so you want to make sure that you've made that decision. You have that ironed out. Okay, God is the one that does it, but you have to put your faith in him. Okay, before being born again, we were prone to disobedience. Okay, before being saved, we did live according to the lusts and the pleasures of our flesh. Okay, before, we used to live under the deception that it is our flesh that rules us. If it feels good, do it. If it doesn't feel good, don't do it. That's the way of the flesh. That's a way to live. But we have been born of the Spirit. We now have full access to the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Bible tells us that. God's instruction book says that we have been given, in this verse, it says the Holy Spirit has been given unto us in abundance, okay, more than sufficient, than whatever we need. Okay, and he has washed us clean, and he has renewed our mind so that we can now see ourselves the way that God intended for us after we were born again. He wants you to know that you're different, and he's going to show that to you. Now get this, that phrase renewing, or the renewing of the Holy Ghost, that word means renovating. Okay, so think of it like he is renovating our mind. Have you ever seen a building that's been renovated? Okay, there's lots of home and garden shows. I watch a few of those once in a while, but they renovate a house. I mean, they gut it. It's completely different. You can't even recognize it sometimes. What they do to renovate something means to repurpose it. Okay, you can take an actual building like this that used to be a restaurant and turn it into a church. It has been repurposed, renovated, right? When we had a church in Missoula, Montana, and it was on the main floor of a big warehouse, and it was a spaghetti warehouse. Of all things, it made spaghetti there. It had old, like the old 2-inch hardwood floors, you know, from one end to the other, about as far as you could see. It was 2,600 square feet, I think, our sanctuary area. And it was kind of shaped in kind of a goofy-looking triangle. And so we renovated it. We built in walls, and we put in some doors, and we built like children's church areas and things like that. The wall on one side was just the old brick, the old red brick stuff, kind of cracked and whatever. So we hung up sheets in front of that to make it kind of a backdrop for the worship and the sanctuary and that kind of stuff. And then my pastor had just his little music stand, I remember, and that's what I took over, was a music stand. But that was our sanctuary, and it was in a spaghetti warehouse. Now, on the other side of the main floor of the building, there was like a sign shop, and I think upstairs in the upstairs levels, there was a t-shirt shop and some other nonprofit businesses. They called it some kind of a warehouse or a mall, the warehouse mall, I think is what they called it. And it was in the back part of town, kind of in the industrial part, and we actually renovated that building. We built a kind of a back door. It had one there, but we kind of fixed it up. I painted it. We put in a deck with a railing and handicap accessible, and we made it so that we had our own entrance. Okay. Now, when we got done, it did not recognize or look like a spaghetti shop anymore. It had been renovated. It was different. Okay. You are different. You have been renovated. You have been changed by God. You are not that old man. You are not have to live according to the ways of the world anymore. Okay, when everything was said and done in that building, it no longer looked like a spaghetti warehouse. Okay, it looked like a church in there. It has been renewed. And that is like God has done with you. You have been renewed. Okay, you are no longer a sinner. You are no longer controlled by the appetites of your flesh. You are no longer dominated by the sin of your past. Those mistakes you made, that's not who you are. I am renovated. I am new and repurposed for the purpose of God. Okay, that anger, that depression, addiction, lust, whatever it is not who you are in Christ Jesus. You've been enveloped with a robe of righteousness so that you are different than you were before. You've been renewed, been repurposed into a man or a woman of God. Okay, like 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He has made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, God has made me different. God has made me different. Amen. That's five words. I added one. God has made you different than the world. Okay. Remember, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He has made you different than the people in the world. The people that have not received Christ cannot know the things that you know. You are different than the people of the world. You can't use that excuse anymore that, you know what, that's just the way I am, because that's the way I've always been. Okay? You don't have that as an excuse. Either you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, or you're not. Okay, God didn't make you to be addicted to drugs or pornography. God didn't make you to be explosive in anger. God didn't make you to be depressed. God didn't make you to be anxious or fearful. God made you to glorify His name. He repurposed you and said, I'm going to pull this one out of that mess and make them into a beautiful, precious child of God that can glorify His name. That's who He has made you to be. The truth is that you have been repurposed. For you to go on living then like you're not is to live in an untruth. It's to live in hypocrisy. It's to act like a Christian some of the time, but then some of the time you act like you're not. You know, there's a song out there right now. I think the guy says something, I'm a little bit of a sinner, I'm a little bit of a saint. Today I've been a little bit of both. Okay, I don't think I can be both. Okay, I believe the Bible is clear that we are different than the world. I cannot be in both, can't have my foot in both at the same time. I have stepped into the sainthood of Jesus Christ. I have stepped into the newness of life. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Scripture to back that up, Romans 6:17. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine or that teaching which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Is there one more verse there? I speak after the manner of man because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, as a born-again Christian, even so now, yield your members as servants to righteousness unto holiness. See, you were a servant of sin. That was the old man nature. That lost person is a servant of sin. They have no choice. They can't get out of it. They're in it until they believe and receive on Jesus Christ. Okay, but now you are holy and a righteous child of God. You are a servant of the Most High God, made righteous so that He can use you for His glory. As a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, you now live in newness of life. Okay, you've heard that term. It's in your Bible. Look it up. It's being dead to sin. Okay, that's what that means. I am dead to sin. Dead and gone. Done. It's behind me. I'm not going to pick it up again. I'm not going to give it new life again. That's not who I am. Romans 6:1 says this. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that as so many as of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, so that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also now have been raised up to a new life to walk in newness of life. Verse 5 says, for if you have been planted together in the likeness of His death, so we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him 2017 years ago or around in there, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, so that henceforth from here on out we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. I don't have to be bound by that. I don't have to be gripped by that and held back and made to do things I don't want to do. I'm a child of God. I could walk in the precious promises of God and stand in the righteousness that He has given to me because I believed on Him, so that I could be free from sin and alive unto God. You are dead to sin. That's who you are. You're dead to sin. You're a righteous child of God. You're a saint and not a sinner. And let me throw this in. It's not about what you feel like either. Okay, throw your feelings out the window on that. Because at times you're going to feel like a sinner. Man, I just messed up. But that is not who God says you are. Remember, we're lining our thinking up to think like God thinks. Renewing our mind. Renovating. We've been repurposed. I'm going to go with that. I can be a doctor working at the hospital. Okay, have my PhD, and I've been working there for 10 years, and one day I just wake up and say, I don't feel like a doctor. I gave somebody some help yesterday, and they didn't get well, and I just don't feel like a doctor. I think I'm going to go be a cop today. And they put on a cop's uniform and go down to the police station and walk in there. If they don't get arrested, they're going to get laughed out of there, right? He's not a cop. He's a doctor. You can't change just overnight, go back and say, oh, I feel like I'm a sinner. I'm just going to be a sinner. But God has made you righteous. You're still a doctor. You can't go do that. You don't want to go do that. You want to stay with the things that God has made you to be. Okay? It would make more sense that if I'm a doctor, I just go back and act like a doctor. Okay? Go back and do what I know I'm supposed to do. Go back and follow through again and again and again and keep trying to help people the best that I can with what God has given me. Okay? Old things are passed away. Your old nature is passed away. Your old sinner mentality, those old sinner behaviors, that's passed away. That's not who I am anymore. I don't have to give in to that anymore. That's behind me. Okay? Your old religious behavior, your old religious thinking that I have to earn my place with God, that's behind you. Let it go. Get it behind you. That's not who you are anymore. You've been created in the image of God. Like the Apostle Paul told Titus, to go and to teach people that you have been made for good works. God made you for good works, he told them. Titus 3:1. He says, put them in mind to be subject unto the principalities and the powers. Do I have that one? Titus 3:1. There we go. Put them in mind to be subject to the principalities and the powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work. Put them in mind to that. Be ready all the time to do the good things that God wants to do through your life. Because if you don't think you were created to do good things, you won't be looking for good things to do. Now, your good works is not what saves you. We go over that every week, I think, in here. But they are an expected part of your new life in Christ. You should be doing the right things. You should be living out your life as a believer in God. Look at Ephesians 2:8. He says, for by grace you're saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God created us. When he repurposed us, made us new, it was so that we would be the ones doing the good things. So that the world would look at the church and say, I want to be like that guy. Look at all that stuff that guy is doing. Okay, look at the things that God is doing through that person's life. Okay, it says that God has before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, when you get born again, God has a plan and a purpose for you. He has some things he wants you to do, and it's good things that he wants you to do, wants to do through your life. Okay, you once were far from the things of God, but now you have been made near the things of God. You once were that, now you're this. It's a then and now kind of thing. Okay. With him inside of you to help you along the way, you can do the right thing. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Before that scripture we just read, now it says, wherefore remember that you being in times past a Gentile in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, verse 12, that at that time, okay, when you're still a Gentile, you hadn't received Christ yet. At that time, you were without Christ. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes or at one time far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. It's a was and is. Okay, that was the way we used to be. This is the way it is now. Okay. The lost people around you are in darkness. They cannot see the things of God. You have stepped over into the light. You've stepped into a new realm where you can see the right things to do. God called you out of darkness and into the light. He has flipped on the switch so that you can live the life that he called you to. Look at this as we get wrapping this up. Ephesians 5, 6. He says, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them, because that's not who you are. You were at one time in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, so walk as children of light. Okay? See yourself the way that God sees you. You were in darkness, but now you're in the light. You were blinded from the things of God, but now they are revealed to you through his Spirit. You were a servant of sin, but now you are the righteous servant of God. You were an unregenerate person, controlled by the appetites of your flesh, but now you live in and by and through the Spirit of God. You were in unrighteousness, but now you have stepped into favor with God. You now have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Live from your new creation point of view. Live from who God has made you to be now. Renew your mind to think that way. And your life, you will begin to see those things of the past, that stuff that rises up and shows its ugly head once in a while. It'll just go away because you don't see that as who you are. That's not even close to me. Okay, that's not a part of my life. Okay, it's something far behind me. And I go forward now as a child of God with a new thinking, realizing that God has made me new. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what He has made you to be. Amen. Father God, we praise You this morning. We give our lives fully and entirely unto You every moment of every day, Lord, that You can have Your plan and Your will in our life. That, Father, as You have made us different, You have called us out from among the lost and among the world, Father, to make us special, to make us different, unique, gifted, anointed to do the things that You have called us to do. And, Father, today we receive that. I receive that mentality. Lord, I want that. I want to just walk in the newness of life that You have given unto me. I want to walk as a new creation in Christ Jesus. I want to walk knowing that I am different. And Father, I pray that for each one of us, that we can say in our heart, I am different. I am not that old man anymore. I am not controlled by the world and the flesh anymore. I am controlled and governed by You. You lead my ship, Father. You lead me and guide me through this water. You lead me and guide me through this life that we live in. Father, we're trusting in You and we're thanking You for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God is